You're back listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR. And now it's time for a discussion we're going to have with Sue Bull, who's a member of Socialist Alliance National Executive. And we have her on the show to talk about the socialist response to the federal budget. Thank you for being on this show, Sue.
Yes, hi.
So the Labor Party is promoting this budget on the basis that it helps the less fortunate and leaves no one behind, and it's been billed as a cost of living budget. So how would you respond to that?
Oh, well, I think that's a bit of a joke, actually. Labor's very good at making out as if they're doing everything. They've got a lot of rhetoric to make it look as if they're helping the poor, trying to get housing built, but of course the Greens are stopping them and so on and so forth. In reality, they've set aside $14.6 billion to assist people who are struggling. Now, we know that that's at least a million people. Of course, it's probably bigger. But according to various different parties, at least 1 billion people, sorry, 1 million people have barely been helped by this budget at all. I think that's just laughable.
And can you go into kind of more detail about, you know, some of the inadequacy of these sort of cost of living measures that the government, that the Labor Party is kind of putting forward?
Sure, sure. The one that most people are talking about, because it's just so astounding, is the fact that the budget provides $2.85 increase for those on JobSeeker and the youth payments. That's all they're going to get out of this. In terms of an actual real increase. And they compare that to the $25 a day that the rich will get when the tax cuts come through, so the third tier of tax cuts. So that's one of the really most astounding, and there's speech after speech that's been given by those who actually support those who are struggling, which shows that layers of people who do not need the money will get, I think they were talking in terms of the politicians, for instance, once the tax cuts come through next year, will be getting something like $60,000 out of those tax cuts, whilst you've got this significant proportion of people that will not be able to feed their children and they'll not be able to pay their rent. So they're the sort of details that are coming through. And, you know, and that's alongside of the fact that there's money that's being ripped out of NDIS, which is forever being put forward as the bogeyman. And yet we all know that for people, you know, who have any forms of incapacity, NDIS has actually saved their lives. It's government and big business governments that have actually supported it being privatised, so that you've got all these massive amounts of money spent not on the people who need it, but on bludgers, actually, that are making private investors or private providers who are making far too much money out of it at the expense of the people who need the money. So they're the sort of figures that we're really looking at. They're quite significant. I mean, the tax cuts, for instance, will bring in $254 billion into the pockets of the already wealthy over the next 10 years. So you look at that, and you measure that up against the $14 billion being given to those who actually need the money, it's just, they're trifling sums. They're huge on the one hand for the rich, trifling for those doing it tough on the other hand.
Yeah, you were talking about the tax cuts, Sue, and I guess just to analyse that, what do you think that reveals about the priorities of the Labor government? It's going ahead with the Stage 3 tax cuts and they're allocating billions to the purchase of nuclear-powered submarines.
Yes. Well, see, they're the two big ticket items. On the one hand, the $368 billion that will be allocated to AUKUS, and then the tax cuts, you know, as I just said before, which is $254 billion. So they're your two really big amounts, while it would have cost $24 billion to give people a living wage. So when you look at these figures, you can see that Labor, basically, is still the second party of capital. Now, this, their role still is to deliver for big business and international, capital, rather than delivering for people who really need it. Now, you've got to look at this also in the context of the fact that most of government income actually comes from pay-as-you-earn taxpayers. So where they get the bulk of their money is from people like us. You know, those people who go to work every day and then they retire or they get an injury or whatever, and they need support or, you know, whatever happens to them, they lose their job, you know, whatever. But they pay tax their whole lives, and that's where the bulk of money that governments get comes from. But meanwhile, when we need it, we get nothing. So it shows really that Labor's priorities are to support big business. Now, you might go, but oh, that just can't be, because they came in on a social justice angle, you know, talking about workers, and they're going to raise money for, they're raising the wages for aged care workers. But meanwhile, the reality is, when you look at these figures in reality, they are not supporting us. They're not paying us back. They're actually supporting big business. So the only conclusion you can draw is that their class interests are not with ours. That's it.
One of the kind of things, although in a sense, your response to kind of that, to the next question I'm going to ask is in almost a sense an answer to kind of the next question I'm going to ask. But I still think it's kind of important to kind of ask this question. Because basically, obviously we can note that the Labor Party clearly have these sort of priorities that are kind of driven by kind of big business. But of course, what they kind of sell to the public and to the Labor supporters is they often kind of put themselves forward as, you know, we are sensible kind of economic managers. And in fact, there's actually quite a big surplus in the budget that is left. And of course, that is sort of celebrated as like, this is actually a good thing. You know, we're the sensible economic managers. We're not like the Liberal Party who constantly kind of mismanage things. And I guess, what do you think is kind of some of the other deeper reasons on why the Labor Party sees it as important as being sensible economic managers?
Well, see, this is the whole conundrum, isn't it? Like, when the Liberals are in, they really appeal to big business, and they're quite happy to offensively just cut. You know, austerity budgets are the sort of budgets that the Liberals bring in. They don't care. They'll just cut everybody. Labor can't be seen to be doing that head-on. They have to do it in sort of backdoor sorts of ways, which is what we're seeing at the moment. And this is part of the reason why they've come in, because what the Liberals do is that they begin to create chaos amongst working class people. You know, the protest levels go up. And of course, the Liberals are in disarray at the moment and fast making themselves irrelevant. So, of course, capital looks to Labor then to see if they can get class peace. So can they shut us up? And remember, the unions at times are only too happy. You know, they go, oh, thank God Labor's in. So the unions are quite happy often to go along with not calling for wage increases, significant wage increases that would address how much money we've actually lost over the last two decades. That's Labor's role. Labor's role is to actually co-opt all of us into accepting that there's no more money in the kitty. I mean, I heard Chalmers say it. He said, oh, we just can't afford it. We just can't afford to give the $24 billion it would take to lift people out of poverty. $24 billion? That is peanuts when you compare it to AUKUS or the tax cuts. I mean, that's when you really see in the cold, hard light of day what their role is. Their role is to shut us up, to make it look as if they're giving us stuff, when in reality they're building a kitty in case that the economy goes into freefall and they have to bail out the banks. I mean, part of the message in this budget is we're really good economic managers. Trust us, so that if you get into trouble, we will have the money there to bail you out. And that will be far bigger than the $24 billion it would cost to bring people out of poverty. I mean, that's really the message that they actually give in these budgets when you peel away all the rhetoric about how kind they are to us poor people who are doing it tough. That's the impact of what they do.
Yeah, well, they're not going to shut us up, Sue. But, yeah, good points. And we also wanted to ask you, what are some of the progressive measures that the union movement and society has to keep fighting for as an alternative to this budget?
Yeah, well, I think there's a number. I mean, the first has to be we have to call for a living wage. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't just step back from that. We can't just sort of step back and go, oh, this is, we'll accept your peanuts. We have to go back to that call. It has to be a living wage for everybody on welfare, but also for workers. We have to call for both. We have to call for a massive increase in welfare, and we have to call for a living wage for workers. But we're stopped from doing that because continuously we're told, oh, that will add to inflation. Well, I can tell you now, even the Financial Review says that if Labor provided the money for those on welfare, it could be offset so that it didn't actually increase inflation. So we can put that one to bed straight away. We have to call for housing. The Greens have been making a big thing on this. Many groups have been making a big thing on this. But we have to have proper public housing and private housing for people. But there is a housing crisis. The union movement has to come behind that call. We have to call for cuts to the subsidies to fossil fuels. You know, there's a $41 billion subsidy to fossil fuel companies. That has to go. We have to stop all subsidies to fossil fuel, and we actually have to stop government from opening up new coal, you know, gas and oil. That's just a reality. And we have to stop AUKUS. AUKUS is not in our favour. It's going to be a massive drain on the economy. It could open up all forms of war, you know, the most frighteningly nuclear war. You know, these things, which have been led by Labor governments or originally maybe Tory, Liberal governments, and then supported by Labor, the union movement has to come behind and actually say outright, no AUKUS, no fossil fuels, living wage for all, and build bloody houses. That's what we actually need. Funnily enough, I think we support Jackie Lambie on this, but there has to be housing, otherwise working class people have got nowhere to live.
Okay, Sue, well, thanks for that. I think you've sort of covered everything quite well in terms of, I guess, this federal kind of budget. But I guess, do you have any kind of final comments you might that you'd like to make?
Yeah, look, I do. The last thing I would say is I think we also have to campaign to show that Labor is not serving the needs of ordinary people. We've got to expose the mythology around Labor. They are an alternative party of capital. I keep hearing really good people saying, oh, Labor's doing pretty well, aren't they, at the moment? And you go, no. Well, I feel like saying, no, it's a honeymoon period. They're making it sound as if they're doing things that are in our favour. In reality, it's peanuts. And I think we need to expose that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sue. I think this has been a very good kind of analysis of the federal budget. And I guess for our listeners, you can read the article that Sue Bull wrote on Green Left titled Labor, I think, Left Millions Out.
Labor's budget ignores the needs of millions.
Ignores the need of millions. And we also have two other articles that have been produced on the federal budget, including Isaac Nellis' sort of article and Graham Matthews. So, yeah, you can have a bit of a read of Green Left's budget coverage by going on greenleft.org.au. But anyway, thanks again, Sue, for being on our program. I think we definitely need to kind of keep up the fight for fighting for a living wage. And I think it's very important that we do expose the inadequacies of this Labor government.
Problem. Catch you next time.